This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto. Car prices have been rising. There may be some relief in sight, though. We will cover that in our next segment. Right now, events in Asia are impacting markets worldwide, while the week ahead will include a key measure of inflation along with data on housing and manufacturing. We're joined by Mark Hamrick, Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com, based in Washington, D.C. Mark, let's begin with Asia. What's going on there? And it seems like that's what's impacting Wall Street today.
Yeah, I think investors are concerned that there is no end in sight to this demonstrations in Hong Kong. And of course, just on the economic output issues alone, that is a worry. But when Beijing is using words like, likening the protest to terrorism, you know, the great fear is, of course, that there's some military intervention there, and that kind of widening is quite concerning, obviously. And, of course, the tariffs are slated to take effect in a matter of weeks now, which will affect all the consumer goods coming into the United States from China. And, I share concerns that I think are broadly held that this will have a dampening impact on U.S. economic activity and really hit the consumer hard.
Now, when it comes to what's going on in Hong Kong, explain for us why economists are concerned about that and why the markets would be worried about that. It seems like, obviously, the protests are significant. But what's the issue there that's impacting world markets?
Well, Hong Kong is a jewel of economic performance in Asia, much the same as Singapore. And when we think about, for example, just on a sort of unilateral basis in the United States, about trying to, if indeed the administration is serious about trying to work out an agreement with Beijing on trade, it's obviously a distraction for Beijing, to say the very least. And there was, of course, just the concern that not only human lives involved, but ultimately the performance of that economy that radiates throughout Asia.
Now, let's talk about the week ahead here, still in the middle of earnings season here. Have some significant companies coming out this week, Cisco, Walmart, NVIDIA. Can you give us a rundown on what you expect this week?
Well, in terms of the earnings season, obviously the stock market is moving through a rough patch, and part of the concern is that all of these headwinds, whether it's global trade, worsening U.S. economic performance with the threat of further tariffs sort of getting in the way, that corporate America is obviously being challenged, and that is obviously then filtering on through to investor unease about the outlook. Of course, when we talk about the stock market being down, about 1% today in the Dow Industrials average, we're only about 5 to 6% off the recent record highs. So, you know, you look to companies like Walmart, for example, to see just how they're faring in this environment. Obviously, a huge gauge of the strength of the consumer. Walmart, obviously, also a company to watch in the sense of it trying to migrate some of its business online, and obviously has a tremendous competitor in Amazon.com.
And, of course, tension and unease and market sagging may create some buying opportunities. Hugh Johnson will join us at 12:31 with some ideas. Thanks so much, Mark Hamrick, Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. There's been a steady increase in the cost of cars. That trend, though, may finally be slowing. Let's get the latest from Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter based in Detroit. Jeff, if I understand this right, the average price of a car is getting up around $40,000.
Yeah, it's well into the 30s, and you're certainly not seeing the long-term trend ease, but what you may see is a little bit of a respite from that trend in the second half of this year. There's a pretty big inventory of leftover 2019 models as we transfer to the 2020s, so that's why there's the anticipation there may be more deals than normal this year. And another interesting thing is working under the surface. There's so much competition in the utility area. area, that a lot of those deals may actually be on vehicles you want to buy.
And so, yeah, so what do they do? Discounts? I mean, is that where, if for people looking to not get above that $40,000 yeah. mark, what can they do?
And again, that's an average. That means half of the vehicles are under that mark. But you take a look closely at what's on sale, Edmunds.com, KellyBlueBook.com. Those are two sites that both have long lists of who has the most incentives on their vehicles. And the reason you're seeing more incentives on SUVs is because car makers have been able to trim their inventories of sedans by not making as many. So there are fewer in inventory, so you don't need as many deals to move those. On the flip side of things, there are more models of SUVs being announced, so that means more competition, and more competition tends to mean more incentives.
As you mentioned, as far as this year's models, are dealers increasingly under pressure to get rid of those to move on to next year?
Yeah, and that tends to happen at this time of the year, but this year in particular, while sales have been pretty close to last year's levels, most of that sales improvement, there's been a disproportionate increase in fleet sales. So sales at the retail level at dealers have actually gone down more than the numbers would suggest. So that means higher inventories this year than previous years. I mean, discounting models at the end of the year is something you see every year, but this year car makers tend to have slightly higher inventories than normal.
When it comes to the sale prices, is the fact that so many cars are now listed online, is that putting pricing pressure on the dealers that maybe is a benefit to consumers?
Well, certainly it is, because consumers can actually now go into dealership A and be on their mobile device and look at what dealership B is offering. So you can actually have your own little mini auction going on while you're at the dealership. So that's something that gives consumers a lot more tools than they ever had in the past.
Great insight as always, Jeff Gilbert, CBS Auto Reporter based in Detroit. Up next, the role of social media in back-to-school overspending, how that's putting pressure on parents.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Social media influencers are having an increasing impact on back-to-school shopping, also other areas of fashion and travel. Let's learn more from Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group, based in New York. Shelley, first of all, influencers on social media, what are we talking about, celebrities or other people?
You know, and what's really funny is everybody with any kind of following influences their own following. So if you have 10 followers, but they're really your followers, you probably are an influencer. But in this case, we're talking about two kinds, celebrities and people who are professional influencers, people who have amassed 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 views on YouTube for any given video. Or millions of views on YouTube for a given video and have millions of followers on social media. This group is called an influencer, or they're called influencers, and they are actually having a fairly significant impact on back to school this year. You get a teenager who's carrying a backpack and talks about how great it is. You get a celebrity influencer who is wearing some various kind of makeup, or another teenager who's doing something with T-shirts that's interesting, and all of a sudden they're flying off the shelves. And so most advertisers have realized that influencer marketing is a pretty significant way to reach a group that you can't reach on television, you can't reach on radio. So yeah, it makes all the sense in the world that influencers are having a big impact this back to school season, since the only way you can reach the group they reach through them.
And so the parents of these students should know, if they all of a sudden start asking for something out of nowhere, it could be that they're seeing it online.
Absolutely. Not could be. Most likely is. And whether it's through an influencer network or through an individual influencer or just a friend, this is how you reach people who are either called Gen Zers or the trailing edge millennials, the youngest of the millennials or the oldest of the Gen Zers, who are this new group that is coming up of age now and is on social media. They don't watch television. They play video games. They're online constantly. They're watching streaming video. They're also doing an awful lot of social interaction in ways that, you know, no previous generation has, because they have tools no previous generation had. So, yeah, if you're a parent and you're not learning about it through the normal media that you watch, it's because you're not involved with the media that your kids are involved with.
And so as far as businesses, I mean, I guess there's lessons here, too, right? If you want to sell stuff, you have to get it out to influencers and get them posting about it.
It's not just that. I mean, I think it's important right now for every business to have a fairly significant social media presence and to spend quality time being authentic to that audience. What used to be making a 30-second spot or building a newspaper ad or a radio spot is now about having a good conversation and having an authentic conversation whether it's through an influencer or directly with an audience that you want to reach. And if you want the audience of the trailing edge millennials and Gen Zers, it's only one place to get them, and that's online.
Yeah, it seems like authenticity is certainly the key, too, whether it's online or otherwise. Thank you, Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group. You can find Shelley online at Twitter, at Shelley Palmer, and also on his website, ShelleyPalmer.com. Still ahead, how hackers are infiltrating your Wi-Fi.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The use of Wi-Fi can open the door to hackers. We'll learn how to protect your information. Stock Picker Monday, a pair of suggestions from a money pro. There's another call for the Chicago Police Department to shut down a public list of gun offenders. The federal government will look into the apparent suicide of pedophile Jeffrey Epstein in a New York City jail cell. Wall Street, the Dow down 274 points, NASDAQ down 58, and the S&P is down 25. Oil is up right about 0.5%. We have lots of clouds in Chicagoland, occasional pockets of sunshine, high of 85 degrees, and significant thunderstorms headed our way overnight. Right now, it's 81 degrees. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are starting the week in the red. Let's talk about it with Hugh Johnson, Chairman and Chief Investment Officer at Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany, New York. Hugh, what do you make of what you're seeing here? As we got the Dow down 1%, the other indexes down almost 1%.
Very much the same thing that we've seen for the last 2 weeks, and it's a little bit troubling, obviously, especially in the bond market where we've seen a very sharp decline in interest rates, and the level of interest rates is now effectively telling us sort of statistically that the Federal Reserve is going to discount or is going to reduce short-term interest rates three more times from the current level of 2.125 down to 1.375. Those are just numbers, but three reductions by the Federal Reserve have to be in response to a significant slowdown in the economy and even a contraction in the economy. So investors are sending a signal. And the signal is we're headed towards, let's say, a slowdown, that's the best case, and a contraction or recession is the worst case. So investors are very concerned, and you know, Cisco, investors tend to get this right.
Now, what then is an investor to do? I mean, is this time for cash? Is this time for maybe some income-generating stocks? I mean, how do you react to this?
Well, my view is on the timing sort of things, side of things, is that I indeed think that we're probably headed towards a significant slowdown, but I think that the worst part is not going to come until the middle of 2020. So I think we've got a little bit of time. That does not mean that investors shouldn't really simply recognize that things are just not as rosy as they once were. So they should add some defense to their portfolios. The way you do that maybe isn't reducing your allocation to equities, but certainly sort of migrate towards some of the so-called defensive sectors or the sectors of the market that'll perform a little bit better if we do get a downturn in the stock market. And that would include things like utilities at the top of that list. Consumer staples would be in second place. The other thing I would think of really seriously is a dividend strategy. A lot of companies offer funds or other sorts of strategies which emphasize dividend-paying stocks. That's a really good idea at this stage when we've got so much uncertainty and so much in the air on concerns about the market.
Now, you talk about the middle of next year. That'll be right in the heart of a presidential election season and congressional and Senate races up as well. Does that usually at all influence the trajectory of the economy? Do government leaders step in and try to do anything, or is it pretty much everything get put on hold during that season?
they invariably step in and try to do something about it. They would ordinarily, election or no election, because they don't want to see the economy falter or go into a recession. But if it's an election year, you can count on it that the administration, and this is not just the Trump administration, it's been administration after administration, have tried to step in during an election year and bolster the economy. The most egregious example of that was in 1970 when Arthur Burns, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, reduced interest rates when it really wasn't justified to try to get Richard Nixon reelected as president. And he actually was in part successful in doing that. But you bet policymakers are going to try to keep the economy from slowing or even turning down or contracting if that's what's in store in the middle of 2020. And they'll take really strong steps to try to get that outcome.
Let's talk about earnings season so far. Obviously, still underway. We are not done. But what are you thinking about what you're seeing so far?
Well, the good news is that earnings have been positive. And if you take the S&P 500, let's say earnings for 2019 look like they're going to be up maybe a little bit under 2%. And for 2020, something in the order of 11%. That's the good news. The bad news is that each week, slowly but surely, the earnings estimates for 2019 have been inching downward, as well as the earnings estimates for 2020 inching downward. And that's because a lot of companies have been posting earnings that have been better than expected, but warning us that things are not going to be as rosy for the remainder of 2019 and 20. And they're right. You know, the economy is in the process of slowing. And I mentioned that previously when I said, look out for the middle of 2020. Things might get even much slower. So everybody's warning us. And as a result of that, estimates for 2019 or the remainder of 2019 and 2020 are coming down.
Now, a lot of people obviously point to what's going on with China and a trade war, but it seems like a downturn, coming downturn, earnings weakness. It's got to be more than just a trade war with China.
Yes, it is. And the trade war with China will shave a little bit off of global growth, and it'll shave a little bit off of U.S. growth. But the most important things for the U.S. markets are, first of all, interest rates. And, of course, declines in interest rates are usually helpful for stocks. And the other side of the equation is the earnings picture. And it's the earnings picture, the economic and earnings picture, which really worries me and I think should worry all investors. And it's probably the reason, I think, Cisco, that investors would be really wise to take a little bit of to try to bolster their portfolios, to add some defense to their portfolios. Don't worry about consumer staples. I know they had a big run, but consumer staples, utilities, things of that sort, and dividend strategies are really a good idea.
Isn't that always the hardest thing, though, is to sort of hunker down and wait for some of the danger to pass? Everyone's looking for opportunities when this happens, when we see some sort of a downturn.
Yeah, but you know, Cisco, let's face it, we're at the 125-month mark of this bull market. It's the longest bull market in history. And trees just don't grow to the sky. We'd like them to grow to the sky. We'd like to forecast that, look, we've got another 2 to 3 years left in this bull market. But common sense alone says, look, it's not a bad idea. It's indeed very rational to take a little bit of a shift towards defense to protect yourself in case we're headed for a cyclical downturn in the stock market and the economy. In other words, this has been a very, very long bull market. Use some good common sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Hugh Johnson, Chairman and Chief Investment Officer at Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany. Up next, protecting yourself from Wi-Fi hackers.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The convenience of Wi-Fi comes with some serious security risks. Let's talk about them and what you can do about it. Jerry Irvine is joining us, CIO of Prescient Solutions, also a member of the National Cybersecurity Task Force. Jerry, so when we're thinking Wi-Fi here, what we're talking about is not necessarily in your home where it's a little more secure, but we're talking when you're out at a fast food restaurant or a clothing store or something like that.
Absolutely. Well, I would say it's at any public place, but it can also be in your business and in your home if you are sharing your credentials with those people. So if you go to your business and your business has a network that they let anybody use, anybody who gets on a Wi-Fi network can see everything that's going on. We've done lots of examples of this, even going to airports and train stations, things of that nature. I can get into a terminal and put a sniffer on, and I can see everybody that's communicating on that network, even people in other terminals. So Wi-Fi networks are shared, and that lets hackers see everything you're doing.
So then what can you do? I'm thinking if you're out in a public place, if you're in a restaurant or you mentioned as a train station, is there something you can, one, know what is a legitimate network, and two, know how to stay protected?
Sure. Well, first off, 4G networking on your phone provides very high data rates. As 5G becomes available, that's going to be even comparable to Wi-Fi networks. If you use those, you're protecting yourself because that's a point-to-point connection between you and the phone company. If you're using a Wi-Fi network, it's shared. So one thing to do, use the data on your phone, tether your phone. But if you can't do that, you don't have unlimited data, make sure your data is being encrypted. And the ways, there are ways to do that. First off, get a VPN software. Now, free VPN softwares sometimes gather your information. They're doing that because they want to get you. So you probably are going to have to look at something that you pay for. But even these devices can make your system go slow. So make sure what you're doing is encrypted. And one of the ways to do that is to use Google Chrome as your browser to make sure your applications are encrypted. A lot of the phone applications you get do not provide encryption. So you're better off going to your Chrome app and downloading gaining access that way. Remember, we used to be told HTTPS, it stands for secure. And if you see that in your browser, you know your data is being encrypted. It's the same thing now. If you're going to do email, go to Google's browser email solution as opposed to the Google app now, or any other type of application you're going. Make sure you see the HTTPS in your browser to secure your data because that encrypts it.
All right, good advice. As always, a lot of folks obviously online at a variety of places in public. So that's good information. Jerry is CIO of Prescient Solutions, also a member of the National Cybersecurity Task Force. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. And helping us out this afternoon, Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital. His website, MWSCapital.com. Matt, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What's your first pick?
Thanks, Cisco. GM, a value play here, as anybody's heard me talking about Ford and its troubles and that value stocks just really haven't worked. But I'm taking another look at General Motors. Had a really good earnings report, strong relative U.S. sales, good momentum in many of its important categories like crossovers and trucks. And it pays this big 3.75% dividend. And, you know, that is just so attractive, Cisco. Remember, a 30-year bond right now pays 2.25%, and a 10-year treasury is 1.75%. So investors, since the financial crisis, have become so fixated on a slowing economy when actually employment and the numbers are really good. That's directly reflected in car sales. GM is very well positioned with Cadillac and its trucks and lots of new models. Big, big profit. So, you know, it's kind of a value stock that you can wait around and pick up this big dividend, Cisco.
And so GM, the first pick with a big dividend. Your second pick is a pretty decent dividend, too.
Absolutely. Coca-Cola, a higher price stock because it's that, you know, premium brand recognition consumer products. Again, a defensive stock in a lot of ways. If you're concerned about the direction of the market, Coca-Cola is a classic defensive play. People tend to buy colas and drinks and carbonated stuff no matter what happens with the economy. Again, a really nice dividend of 3%. And that's consistent, will grow over time. Coca-Cola is one of the most profitable companies in terms of net profit margin in the world, consumer products-wise, about 33%. Because remember, Sysco, they basically sell bottled water and sugary syrup. So never been a better franchise, has one of the highest name recognitions in the world. And Coca-Cola here had, again, an outstanding earnings report, jumped about 5% and has dialed back a little bit with the market, so a good spot to get into it and pick up that dividend.
What can we read into your view of at least the near future on the markets, given the fact that both of your picks have pretty good dividends? What are you telling us?
It just shows us this persistent and endemic anxiety of investors, and I just advise people to hold their ground, and you know, the market will eventually climb this wall of worry. Companies are doing too well. They're paying dividends that are too good. The employment market is excellent. You know, we are in a time of unparalleled prosperity, but also all this worry. So that's a thing that actually is a bullish sentiment indicator. So meantime, pick up these big dividends and wait out the sentiment to improve.
Yeah, take advantage of it. Thank you, Matt Shapiro, MWSCapital.com. His two picks today, GM and Coca-Cola.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.